and the craft that one has to learn in God's world is much more noble, much more beautiful than that which people practice. People only do piecemeal work, but in God's world it is different. And she took out a garment that belonged to her and which, as she said, she would only wear on holidays. She laid it out in front of us and showed us the precious items and of course wanted to persuade one or the other to take up this profession. She said how beautiful it was to put all these things together so harmoniously, and that you could become a great artist in this profession too. Nobody was enthusiastic about it. We wanted to hear about the other professions. Then she said, glass painting, for example, and she pointed to our windows. We had truly magnificent windows. No human eye has ever seen anything in such splendor, these bright colors, these pictures, something so noble, so distinguished. Well, then we took a closer look at these windows. I said earlier that the overall impression was actually important to me. I didn't go into the details. But now they were taken apart for us, from the shoes to the dress to the window, we were supposed to look at everything. Well, the glass painting would have interested me more, but I wanted to hear more, and so did the others. They began to be amazed, and one of them explained that he had always liked drawing. Our mother said that it was a great art. First you have to learn to draw, of course, and you have to have the ability to do it. You are first tested in this area, and then you have to learn to put the colors together. That is not so easy, it is a really high art, and it will take a long time to master this art. Well, there was already more attention for that. Then the mother had spoken about weaving. That was also a very beautiful profession. The fabrics that you wear have to be woven, and she showed us on her dress these precious threads, the ornaments that were woven into the fabric. That is not so easy, she said. You need artists for it and you also have to be filled with ideas, inspired. In order to get these ideas, you can visit other cities. You can visit beautiful houses to get this inspiration. That actually applies to everything, whether for the glass painting or weaving. You have to encourage inspiration, you have to get it, and then, with your own strength, when you have an idea, you can develop it even further and create your own work. That made a little more of an impression on us. Then the Muslim immediately volunteered to do the weaving. He said that he had helped Peter to weave carpets as a child and that he could still enjoy that, so it wouldn't be a problem for him, he said to his mother. And his mother seemed to agree. We wanted to know more about what kinds of jobs there were in this heavenly world. She said, of course there are many, many jobs, but I'm listing the ones that I think could be suitable for you. Because you can learn one job, but you can later learn another or several more. You don't just have to do one job, but you must have a profession. Then they talked about architecture. They said that the houses had to be built, and the mother spoke of precious, impressive houses that were being built in the spiritual world. So that was also necessary, and one could turn to such a profession. One could also be interested in the profession of gardener or, and this seemed to be exactly the same in the spiritual world, garden architect, since great importance was attached to gardens in the heavenly world. The gardens would not always remain the same, but would be changed again and again. Great artists had to be at work there too. Because one had to have great ideas. If one did not have the talent, one would never be able to create a special work and receive praise for it from high places. And that was what it was all about. As far as art is concerned, you have to give your utmost so that it is appreciated from above and you are rewarded for your work. That is the great joy, she said. She also said that it is not so easy. You cannot simply say, I want to become an architect now without having the ability to do it. There are also weavers, you have to weave in the divine world too. There are so many vessels of all kinds, you have to work on so many objects. She drew our attention to the beautiful tables, the beautiful chairs, and we had to say, it really was very beautiful. No human eye has ever seen anything like it, I had to say. They have no idea what is being worked on here. And so the spiritual mother answered, yes, you see, you can learn this profession too. But I didn't like it either. In my thoughts I was still so connected to the earthly time when you talked to your parents about the profession you wanted to learn, when you considered what might be possible. Our spiritual mother listed many professions. Then she told us that we absolutely had to be able to find something among what she had listed. Because, she said, you must not forget that the earthly world cannot be compared with the world of God in this respect. Just think about it for a moment, about the busyness of people. We don't need money, we don't need an accountant, we don't need a cashier. You don't have to deal with money, you don't have to do an apprenticeship to then work at a bank, you don't have to do business. You have to learn a real profession. So you have to be clear about which professions are not necessary in the spiritual world and don't have to be learned. You have to learn first and foremost those professions that the spiritual world needs. You must help to preserve God's world in its development and beauty. You must do your part to make God's world even more beautiful than it is. Make it even more beautiful? We looked at the room and found that there was hardly anything that could surpass this beauty, with the exception of the highest heaven, where God lives. We all thought so, because we really did feel like we were in heaven. We felt happy and blessed. The mother then spoke to us, you cannot have any idea what it is like in the higher worlds. You are lucky that your soul remained unburdened, that is why you have now been allowed to enter such a beautiful world. But in return you are expected to work in God's world, to express all your abilities. You can turn to music, singing, painting, what the high art of man has to offer you can also practice here. You must also learn it if you think you have the ability to do it. Well, I have told you enough about the others. They have also chosen a profession. I have also chosen one, namely glass painting. That meant a long way for me. I had to start and learn to draw, very small things. I then had to leave my mother's house and went to a workshop where there were others who also wanted to learn this profession. We had a teacher who taught us drawing. So we had all kinds of things to learn. We had to learn how to bring the colors together, how to mix the colors. We went a lot to the beautiful gardens, arranged the flowers together and tried to learn the infinite gradations of colors. It took a long time just to get to know the colors. We were told that time was not important, the important thing was to learn the craft well and thoroughly. So I put all my enthusiasm into it. Because it was not just about drawing and bringing the colors together, you had to familiarize yourself with the spiritual matter. So you had to put the spiritual forces, these strands, together, so you first had to learn the theory of vibration in order to be able to make the spiritual glass. There was a lot to learn in all its details. Then you had to try to put simple colors into the spiritual glass before you even got to the drawings. For the drawings, these colors had to be pressed in again using a higher vibration, using a higher pressure. You had to pay attention to the shine. So there was so much to learn, but I enjoyed this job. I think, in human terms, I am told that this is true. I studied for a good 20 years before I managed to make a window like this, which you can say has harmonious colors and lines, 20 human years. But I would like to stress that I did not devote myself to this job all the time. We lived with our mother, we always returned to her when our teachers had dismissed us. We worked according to a spiritual time calculation and were allowed to return to our mother's house. I would like to stress, however, that our stay with her lasted 10 years, according to earthly time calculation. Afterwards, we lived in a community house under the spiritual guidance of male spirit beings. But this first time was the happy and comforting time in which we were together with our spiritual mother. We did not always have to work, but like all other spirit brothers and sisters, we also had free time in which we could do or leave what we wanted. When we were with our mother, we were also interested in games. She encouraged us to do so and explained to us that we could also devote our free time to games, while others who liked it had started to make music. Others who had taken up other professions started to paint. In other words, they had done what they enjoyed in their free time. But we had enough time for a wonderful game. I will try to explain it as best as I can. It is a game that I played with my brothers when we were with the spiritual mother. Later I devoted myself to other things. That does not mean that we generally give up the game, that we do not play such games together now and then, but we played these games regularly in our family at our mother's. We had a lot of space around our house. There was a wonderful garden with a very nice lawn. We played our ball game there. It is of course not a game that people know. It is not the game that young people play with great enthusiasm. It is also a ball game, but this game is played with large hoops. These hoops are fixed in the moss or, better said, in the lawn. You have to try to throw the balls through certain hoops. But then there are brothers there who try to prevent this throwing. It is also a game of winning and losing, but it is a harmonious game. It is not a violent game as people know it. It is a lot of fun, and even if one party loses the game, you are not sad about it. You are happy to get revenge. You can also invent games yourself, using your own strength. You can play them with your siblings. There are many games with hoops and balls that are very harmonious, can be dance-like and very playful. We had fun like that until we had to leave our mother's house. Then, when I went to the community house with the others, our thinking changed a bit. In the first time in the spiritual world, we really still had the feeling that we still needed to be mothered. We were not yet independent, and we were all so happy to have such a loving mother. Later, when we had achieved a certain independence through our zeal and our work and our own will had become more expressed, and when this period of time was over, we were also separated from our good mother. From then on we were responsible for ourselves. But we had a good life together, and so everyone pursued their profession from their place of residence, and so did I. I would like to mention that I was often able to visit my grandmother when I was with my spiritual mother, and I told her about my work. We also learn from our spiritual mother everything important and significant that had happened in the family on earth. It was explained to us, and I also went to greet them when acquaintances, friends or relatives returned home. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to tell you something about my work in my new world. We or I have been chosen for this, called by our brother Joseph. We were told that they wanted to make you aware of the spiritual life, that you should become familiar with the life beyond. That is why I was called to tell you about it. So I live happily in my world. But I will not omit to say that I do not only do my work in this way. We contribute to the glory of God with our work. We contribute what lies within our weakest strength. We go together to prayer, to song, where we praise, honor and glorify God. And we brothers meet, all together, the Orthodox, the Jew, the Muslim, the Catholic, the Protestant, all, we pray and sing together the same prayer, the same song. We all bow our knees before the King, all of us, without distinction. We all believe together, we all glorify God together, praise and glorify Him. We are united in our faith, in the glorification of God. We agree that everyone must encourage others to achieve the highest, to please God. We strive to give the best in our work, to make heaven appear in all its splendor. We want to give glory to God in this way. We want to show all our brothers and sisters how important it is to us to give heaven, all the heavens, this splendor, and that everyone gives with all their strength what they can give. For everyone, whatever faith they once had in human life, is a child of God. Everyone speaks of God, of their Father, and we all call ourselves brothers, brothers or sisters. There is no division in faith, we all stand together in the same faith. We form a family. In this family, Christ is our King, and God our Father, the Creator, the highest Spirit in heaven. That is what I have to bring to you for your better understanding. I return to my work and I leave you to the blessing of God. Greetings from God. Experience report of the Ascending Spirit being Peter through Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Headline, next case. July 7, 1965. Jacob, when you don't want to accept that you have died and think you are in a dream. Spiritual confusion of someone who has returned home and simply couldn't imagine that there is an afterlife. Control Spirit, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, I am the Control. A spirit named Jacob is speaking to you. Greetings from God. Jacob, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Jacob. I am telling you about my entry into the world of God and about my transformation in it. I lived in this earthly kingdom without faith in God. As a human being, I could not find God. I could not believe in Him. I also did not feel any great responsibility. I found life meaningless. So I had made many mistakes in my human life also, or especially because of my disbelief. But I could not immediately cast off this disbelief when I entered the spiritual world. When I left the earthly garment of the world behind and opened my eyes to the new world, I did not have the impression that I had died. I still felt like a human being, in the same way. Only one thing seemed strange to me: the surroundings were no longer the same as before in human life, and there were other people with whom I met. But that did not give me the insight that I had died. Because I thought I was dreaming. Everything I experienced was a dream for me, I told myself, it's all a dream. Although I had to live with other siblings and experienced many things with them, I assumed it was all just a dream. I made the other eye also drew their attention to it and said to them, you all dream, just like me. How can you be so anxious? How can you be so restless and so impatient? The dream will pass and you will have the old experience again, be in the old experiences. When I said these and similar words to the others, they laughed at me, because they claimed that it couldn't be a dream anymore, because they had been dreaming for too long and that wasn't normal. They also told me that life here was too varied, that you couldn't dream like that. They wanted to teach me, they tried. But I had separated myself somewhat from the others. I had had enough of all the complaining and crying that I had to hear. I didn't like that. But I assumed that this dream would end one day. In this dream, as I just believed it was, we all lived together in one house. But I left the house because I didn't want to hear the other people complaining. Then I sat down outside the house and dozed. I also went for walks and made observations of the surroundings. But everything was so human-like and I believed more and more that it was just a dream. There were trees like those you see in human life, I encountered animals, so what else could it be but a dream? It couldn't be reality. You could think and you had hands, feet, a body, just like a human. So I persisted in believing that I was only dreaming. When I was outside again to take a closer look at the surroundings and encountered these people, I thought in a dream. A woman came towards me. She cried, she screamed, she shook and rattled me and asked me, can you tell me where my child is? You know, I drowned with the child. Now I'm still alive, but where is my child? I don't have the child. Who took it from me? Have you seen my child? Help me look for my child. And I then said to her, oh, you're dreaming, you didn't drown. Because if you really had drowned, you would be dead, but you have to admit that you're alive. Look at the ground you're standing on, it's just like on Earth, it's exactly the same. Look at the animals you see here, they're the same as on Earth. Even the trees, the bushes, the houses, everything is the same. What do you think? It's all just a dream. She then replied, I would be happy if it were a dream. But I know for sure that I was on a ship with my child and other friends. A storm came, the ship sank, and I know that I am dead. I laughed at her and told her to calm down, that she would surely wake up from the dream. She did not listen to what I said and reproached me and said that it would soon be time for me to realize that it was not a dream but reality. Then she added, you can see that they are all strangers here. If we were on Earth, where we lived, then we would see our own people, we would have our own house. But where is our house? I cannot find mine, and you cannot find yours either. I replied, yes, one dreams, strange things all mixed up, you know that very well. But she didn't believe me and moved away from me. We had met outside, so I watched this woman for a while to see where she was going, what she was doing. She continued to cry, she continued to scream. She asked everyone she met, "Have you seen my child? Where is my child? I have lost my child, it died with me. Where is the child?" Now a woman unknown to me came up to this crying person and I heard her say, "Calm down, your child is in good hands." And the woman then begged on her knees to this stranger in question, "Then give me my child, because I am its mother." And the stranger said, "No, you can't have the child, not yet. The child is in its own kingdom of heaven." "In the kingdom of heaven," she said, "I heard it. But it couldn't be a kingdom of heaven where I and everyone who was with me were. The kingdom of heaven couldn't be that human," I thought to myself. So I was dreaming after all. I continued to hear this stranger explaining, "When you have calmed down, when you let yourself be instructed, then I will bring you the child. You may see the child, but you may not keep it." I heard it well, and I got up and went closer to those who were speaking in order to hear better, because over time I became a little unsure and I thought, "This dream is going on a little too long." I saw these many siblings, I could talk, and the world was different than when I was alive. There were other people, other houses, and the surroundings seemed somewhat strange to me. But I could touch my body, and I could think just as I had before in human life. I could still remember many things. But I couldn't understand that after death life should continue in such a way that one should wake up in a strange place and that this should now be one's new home. It was also a village, just like one finds on earth. So I became more and more curious and listened to this stranger speak, "If you let yourself be taught and become calm, if you stop crying, then you can have your child with you for a while." The woman promised to calm down immediately and immediately think differently. She wanted to do everything to have her child. The stranger said, "Then you must come with me. You will be taught, because you are in a new world, you know that you have left the earthly realm." I heard that clearly, left. And so I asked myself, "Have I really left?" You could talk to the others, and they looked just like people. And that was supposed to be a different world. I didn't believe in God, I didn't believe in life going on. And it was supposed to be reality. I couldn't yet accept that. But then this unknown woman led the woman away and went with her into the house where I actually had my home. Now someone else came. I became a little more attentive. There was a lot of conversation of all kinds, but this hadn't made any impression on me before. Because for me it was just a dream. But now, after I had clearly heard this conversation about leaving and entering the new world from close up, I became a little more attentive. But I didn't go into the house, but wandered around the area. Then I had another experience that I paid attention to. Someone else came along, shouting and singing. "I am happy and joyful," he exclaimed, "I am the happiest being there is." He passed me by and held out his hands to me and said to me, "Can you be as happy as I am? I can shout and jump, I am healthy again, I have my legs back." And I asked, "Why do you say that you have your legs back?" And he answered, "Yes. I was in the war. Both my legs were shot off. I had to live a miserable life in the world. I could no longer walk like other people, I just slid round on the ground. In order to earn some money, I got together with other sick, injured and disabled people. We then went to the fairs together. They bought me a cart, and I went in that cart with my other brothers, with the other injured and disabled people. We went from fair to fair and took our barrel organ with us and played it, and put our hats next to it. And that's how we made some money, and sometimes we earned very well. But even so, it was a miserable life, always just sliding around on the ground or having others carry us. I was lucky that they bought me a cart like that. But I earned the money for it myself, precisely because we aroused pity at these fairs. People gave us money. Then I got sick and died pretty quickly. I'm lucky that it came to that, because now the miracle happened. As a human being, my legs were shot off, I had to live without legs, but now, In the new world, I have my legs again. I can jump, I can do things like anyone else. Oh, I am so happy. I want to thank God, I want to be loyal to him who made it possible for me and gave me my limbs again. Then he continued to speak to me, I never believed in God in my life. I always said, if there were a God, he would not allow wars between nations. If there were a God of justice and love, there would not be so much misery in the world. I could not believe and could not pray. There was no God for me, there was no life after death for me. And what did I have to experience? And he shouted in between, and he wanted to jump around and dance and sing with me. But I was a little dazed by his strange behavior and still thought about it. He had been in the war, as he said, and both of his legs had been shot off, and now he had his limbs back and wanted to be grateful to God who had given them back to him. He said, I will do anything, anything out of gratitude for this great kindness that has been given to me. I am ready to repent for my life. I am ready to make amends. I will do everything that is asked of me. I want to be grateful to God, who has made me healthy again. So he said, and then he continued, because I must have looked astonished, don't you believe? And I had to say to him, until now I didn't believe in God, perhaps for the same reasons as you. And I thought all this was just a dream, because everything here is too human for me. And the other replied, I don't care at all what you sense, what you feel, whether it is human for you or not, it is of no interest to me. I know that I am alive and that is important to me. Everything I see here and who I meet and how it is, that is of no interest to me. I accept everything, I believe everything and I am happy. I am just looking for someone to teach me to pray. I want to be grateful to the God who has made me well again. So he walked away from me. I looked after him, but as soon as he had said that he was looking for someone who would teach him to pray, someone came up to him from somewhere. There are so many strange beings in this world that I only thought I was dreaming of, and called out to him, listen, brother, wait a minute, you called me. Now I was paying attention and wanted to hear and see how and what was going on here too. Then this stranger said, you have the desire to pray, you told that man, by which he meant me, that you wanted to be grateful to your God that he had made you well again, that you had your limbs back. And I heard and saw the other man say, yes, I want to thank him. Lead me to him, I want to thank him on my knees for making me well again. I want to do anything, you can ask anything of me. I want to believe, and I believe that there is a God of justice. And this stranger replied, if you have the desire to pray, then come with me. And this stranger went away with him, where, I did not know. In any case, they did not go into the house, and I had the feeling that they were leaving so quickly that I could not follow them. I resolved to be a little more attentive from now on and to follow the conversations more attentively. And then I met another one, that is, I now sought out the others, whereas before I had separated myself from them because they made too much noise and told me too much that I did not believe because I thought they were only dreaming, it had all been just a dream for me. So I was more cautious and attentive. Now another one came along, he was constantly talking to himself. I then followed him for a while. He kept bending down to the ground and picking up small stones, one time a piece of grass, another time he broke off a twig. He looked at the things closely. He turned the stone around in his hands for a long time and kissed it. He did the same with the broken twig. He kept running his hands up and down the twig and kissing it and always calling out, oh, I am happy, oh, I am glad, oh, I am grateful. He kept talking all sorts of things to himself and he always seemed to be touching and looking at everything carefully. Then I went very close to him and asked him, what are you saying, what is new for you? You live the same way, there is nothing new here, you just think you are in another world. You see, there are stones here, bushes, grass, you can find whatever you want. Didn't you have that on earth too? Then he looked at me and said, who are you? How long have you been here? Oh, I don't know, I said, you know, for me everything is just a dream. Then he answered me, yes, you know, I also have the impression that it can only be a dream. And I confirmed it to him, surely it is only a dream.